Somehow I made it to age 45 without ever smoking or really seeing marijuana. You know, you may ask how that can be, but English boarding school in the 1960s was not exactly a hotbed of, you know, marijuana exchange. And I went straight from boarding school at age 18 when I left into nursing school, which is like boarding school light in England. We were very much controlled and curfews and everything else. And by the time I came out of that, it was into the early 70s, and somehow I was just never exposed to it, just knew nothing about it. So at age 45, I was widowed, and it was really, really tough for me. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, nothing. I went back to work, and I was working at a law firm in San Francisco. I was working 10-hour days, traveling in from Fremont to San Francisco, so my days were like 12-hour days at least. And that was really what was keeping me going. But I got a roommate who was young enough to be my daughter. She was in her early 20s. Lovely girl called Cheryl. We're still friends to this day. And her boyfriend, Art, was an absolute pothead. And they would smoke a lot of marijuana. But I couldn't help but like Art because my late husband worked at United Airlines at the MOC in San Francisco, and so did Art, in the same area. And although he hadn't known my husband, he said there was a photograph of him in the lunchroom. And that always made me feel really good. So I couldn't help but like Art, even though he was a pothead. So they knew that I was having trouble sleeping and eating and everything else. So one Friday evening, we're sitting around there smoking. They said, why don't you try smoking some marijuana? It will help you to sleep. So I said, okay. So I smoked some marijuana, and really quickly, I became the funniest person I'd ever known. I mean, I was trying to talk and say something, and I just couldn't get the sentences out because I would just be rolling around laughing. And they were laughing too, so the three of us were like rolling around on the ground laughing. And this went on for a while, and then I think I probably got a little hungry for the first time in quite a while. And then I fell asleep on the living room floor, and I woke up a few hours later, and Cheryl and Art weren't there, and I was convinced they were axe murderers, and this was a plot, and they were going to do me in. So I went into the bedroom, and I like pushed a piece of furniture up against the door so they couldn't get in, and I decided that maybe marijuana wasn't really for me. But they gave me this little bag. They said, well, you know, you should try it a few times. You know, the paranoia will get better and, you know, this, that, and the others. But I put it in this little wooden box that I still have to this day and hid it in my underwear drawer and forgot all about it. Completely forgot that I owned it. About a year later, I was having my bathroom redecorated. And the guy who came to redecorate was referred to me by somebody, so I thought he must be okay. And, of course, I was going to be gone all day at the law firm, but my roommate Cheryl was still with me, and she said she would check, you know, when she came home, she'd make sure everything was okay. My next-door neighbors were always watching out for me. They said they would make sure everything was okay. And it was summertime, and I came home in the evening. It was still light, and my next-door neighbors were out in the front, and they said, why do you let your contractor take a shower at your house? I said, what? So, yeah, he took a shower, and he's like, his hair's all wet, and he's got a towel around him, and he's wandering around. Then we could see through your front window. He's lying on the sofa watching TV. Oh, great. So he had gone, because it was about 8 o'clock in the evening. I walked into the bathroom and looked at this tile work, and it looked as if a three-year-old was playing that game where they try and match up the squares, you know? And I thought, this is not right. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's just taking advantage of my house. And I'd also heard from an electrician who'd gone in to do some sort of wiring or something that the guy had been a little aggressive with him, kind of got a little physical with him. But I thought, I need to fire this guy. So I called the police station and I said, in the morning I got to fire my contractor and I understand he can get a little aggressive. So I wondered if you could, like, just drive around the bottom of the cul-de-sac and just check that everything's okay. So the next morning at 7 o'clock, there are two policemen at my door. And I said, well, it's going to be fine. I mean, you can just watch out, kind of drive around. They said, no, we're going to stay with you, make sure everybody's safe, in the way policemen do. And the guy arrived a little bit later, and he sort of looks at me, and I said, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to pack up your tools and leave the job. I don't want you on this job anymore. And he looks, and he says, well, you didn't have to call the police. And I said what they'd said. Well, I just want to make sure everybody's safe. So he starts to pack up his tools, and he's thinking, and he says to the policeman, you guys interested in marijuana? And they're like, no. Because she has some. And I'm like, I do. I had so forgotten. I'm like, I do? And then I remembered the little pot in my underwear drawer. And he said, yeah, I had to move a piece of furniture. Lie. And the drawer fell out. Lie. And I found the marijuana. Lie. And they said, we're not interested. But, you know, and I was so naive and so guilt-ridden about this. And he started going on about it, how the Board of Registered Nurses would really like to find out about this. And I'm thinking, really? There was a nurse at Stanford I worked with who was actually stealing patients' morphine and giving them saline injections so that she could steal them. I don't think they're going to be too worried about me smoking a joint. But I was kind of thinking and watching, you know, watching. And then he goes on, oh, Gordon and Reese, the law firm I work for, they'll want to know all about this. And I'm thinking, right, I've been to a few Gordon and Reese parties. I don't think they're too worried about it either. But anyway, kept going on and on. And so I decided I was going to go and get the marijuana and hand it in. This was the best thing to do. So I went into the house, and as I walked in, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a flower pot back in my little sunroom. And I remembered that Cheryl had talked about her and Art growing their own. And I'm like, now if I get caught with that red-handed, that's a big problem. So I went running out to the sunroom, grab the pot, go outside, dump it in the dishes, in bushes, run back inside, run into my underwear drawer, and there's the little pot with the marijuana, and I bring the marijuana, and I give it to the police, and I said, this is what he's talking about. And the policeman put it in his pocket. And the guy's still loading up his tools, and he's still going on about who he's going to tell and this, that, and the other. And after a while, the policeman said to me, is he still talking about the marijuana? Yeah. So the policeman took it over to the side of the curb, emptied it out into the drain, and said, end of story. So the guy left, and I thought to myself, isn't that great? The one and only time in my life that I have anything to do with marijuana, and I get caught red-handed.